Good morning and welcome to the conference call of Elumeo SE regarding the quarterly release of the Q1 2017 financial. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Bernd Fischer.
Good morning and a warm welcome from Berlin for the Q1 2017 financials of Elumeo SE. And I suggest to just start straight away, and Mr. Boyer will start with the first page of our presentation.
Good morning, and thank you very much also from my side. Here from Berlin, where we have a marvelously sunny spring morning, and I think that marvelously sunny spring morning also reflects a little bit the prospect of Elumeo after a very challenging 2016 and the first quarter of 2017. And I would like to point out five major points that we have done throughout the first quarter in order to bring our company back on track to where it used to be. The first is that, as we have said already with the publication of the full year figures, that for the last, I would say, two quarters, we have very much focused on streamlining the cost of our organization. You may recall that we have undergone a very long period of very fast growth since our start in 2007. And historically, our approach was always to continue to grow and improve profitability by improving revenue and growing margins. After the Thai baht had gained so much value against the euro in 2015 and also in 2016, we have realized that the objective to continue the growth of margins and revenue in order to return the company to profitability was going to be very challenging, and we've decided to also streamline the organization, so to work actually on both fronts, reducing cost and increasing margin. That was the first focus in the quarter, in the first quarter. The third point that we have on this slide is the developed and nicely developing B2B business, where we are offering our factory capacity also to business clients, so clients that themselves sell our jewelry to retailers, and that segment has developed very nicely and also has helped the business continue to return to profitability. The fourth, as always, our e-commerce business is growing very fast and continues to deliver higher contributions to our overall business. And as a consequence of these four points, in March 2017, we were happy to report that we have been able to bring the company back to profitability. It's not a very high profit that we have made in March yet, so we still have a long way to go to return to traditional profitability levels, but at least we have stopped the hemorrhaging in the organization and are now on a stable basis to continue to grow the business. As for cost reductions in the first quarter, we can see already a pretty significant reduction in both selling expenses and administrating expenses. We will continue to reduce cost also in the second quarter, where we still have some restructuring projects that will start to take effect only at the end of April, beginning of May, so there's still some further cost savings to be expected, even though I don't think that it will be at the same level that we have done in the first quarter, so we won't be able to continue to take out $1 million in expenses each quarter this year, but also in the second quarter we will continue to save cost and streamline the organization. As you can see, we have been able to cut costs both on the selling side, where we have cut essentially 10% of our costs, but also on the administrative and overhead level of our costs. We've also streamlined our head offices here in Berlin, and made sure that we adapt this to the situation that we're in. I would like to point out that we have tried to cut costs reasonably and also with a perspective to long-term growth. So when you look at the development of, for example, sales and marketing expenses, you can see that we are still up quite dramatically from the first quarter of 2016 in sales and marketing expenses. So all of the cost savings that we have done in the first quarter were cost savings in order to make the organization more streamlined and more efficient. But at the same time, we have tried to stay away from sacrificing cost for the sake of sacrificing growth for the sake of cost savings. So our marketing expenses have actually gone up, and so has our brand awareness and also the amount of new customers, for example, that we receive in Germany is up quite nicely. So we've been able to actually, in particular in Germany, streamline the cost at the same time as being able to increase margins and also revenues. Already in the in the publication of the full year figures, we have said that we have started to offer the capacity of our factory also to business clients. We see this as a opportunistic approach to fill the capacity of our factory that in 2016 has produced below its full capacity and therefore has not developed the level of fixed cost regression that we should usually see in order to have a cost-effective production. There is at the moment a portfolio of four clients that we serve, and this has started to develop nicely in the first quarter, and we hope that this will continue to grow at the same pace in the second quarter. As it's a limited amount of clients, it's fairly hard to predict what the total outcome is going to be, because one buyer's decision to continue or to discontinue the cooperation with us still has a pretty significant impact on the overall revenues. This is where we are at the moment. In our revenue projection for the full year, still a little bit cautious to include all of this into our revenue projections. But as you can see, from January to March, this has already developed quite nicely. February is not listed here because in February we didn't have any B2B sales. So it's growing nicely, and if it continues like that, it will be able to deliver a nice revenue contribution and fixed cost degression for our factory. In Italy, throughout the first quarter and also the second quarter of 2017, we have restructured our business just in the same manner that we did in the UK. So we have streamlined the organization. We have moved the business from a four-shift system, so where we have four shifts every day of presenters and producer, to a three-shift system, so one shift in the morning and then two shifts in the afternoon and in the evening. That has led to us losing a little bit of broadcasting time, roughly 1.5 hours, but at the same time, there was a pretty significant cost saving together with it. We've redesigned the entire operation pretty much according to the same approach as we have chosen in the United Kingdom, to give it a more upscale and fresher approach, which has been adopted by our customers quite nicely. We have now deployed the full scope of Illumio's brands that we have developed over the last year also in Italy, including Cavel, Amayani, and Lance Fischer. And these brands have been accepted by the Italian market very favorably. In April, the revenues of our Italian operation are up much more and much higher than 20% over April 2016, and we hope to be able to continue growing our Italian business, because we, as you all know, over the course of the last 12 months have suffered some problems in raising revenues, and we're happy to see that this has now been able to put back on track. In particular, in the combination with the fact that we have actually reduced our broadcasting hours by 1.5 hours. So we have less live broadcasting time, but at the same time revenues are up, and that's a very promising result. E-commerce just quickly continues to grow very fast. Both our static webshop revenues and also our online bidding agent revenues continue to grow very fast. Also, the amount of new customers we gain from the web is up quite dramatically, where almost 60% of our new customers now come from the web. So the transformation of our business from a traditional television shopping channel that was the kind of business that we were running in 2008 and 2009 to a fully classic e-commerce business is well underway, and I think it's not going to take very long until we can say that we are a e-commerce business with a television station and not a television station with an e-commerce business anymore. In total, if you take all of these activities in the first quarter together, and if we look at the quarterly development of our segment EBITDA, you can see that we have now finally been able to break even in March of 2017. We still had a loss in the first 2 months. We have, for the sake of the development of our business, split the first quarter into two parts, the March figures and then the January and February figures. And you can see that also in January and February, our business was developing positively against the previous quarter and also against the prior year quarter. And then in March, we have finally brought the company back to profitability. The results we see so far in the second quarter are also very promising, and that leads us to assuming that for the rest of the year we will run a profitable business, which I think is a very good news for us, but also for our investors, because after a pretty much 18-month struggle to bring the business back on track, I think that's finally a very good situation that we're in. I would like now to hand back to Bernd so that he can guide you through the financials a little bit more precisely, and then I will return speaking about the outlook of the business.
Okay, so we start on page 10 of our presentation with a quick summary. That basically has already been said by Wolfgang, but to summarize quickly, so we have an overall good development in Germany regarding the revenues as well as increased margin in total. So we are fine here. We see for Italy still a decline in the first quarter, but as said already, from March and April, we see a clear turnaround for this part of our business. The United Kingdom is for the Q1 the kind of mixture. So the first 2 months with the massive sale action we took there to optimize our stock levels show higher revenues, especially compared in the British pounds versus the prior year, but at the same time at a very, very low margin, which we'll see later on also in the segment. So this was, of course, declining the overall profitability, but was necessary to take the next step for the United Kingdom. So since March, we have the new distribution, and so we'll see also for the remaining year lower sales in United Kingdom, of course, but at the same time significantly improved segment EBITDA. On the following page, on page 11, the graphs for revenues, gross profit, and the segment EBITDA and margins. So revenues in total up by 15%. To be fair, of course, also the prior year with 50 million for one quarter was weaker than in average we have been in the past. We see the gross profit declining as well as in percentage as also in total numbers. Basically three reasons we see here. The biggest one for sure is the sale in the UK. Second one is that compared to prior year, also in Germany, we have a higher share of high-value items from third-party suppliers, which we haven't had in the Q1 2016. And the third reason for the decline in margin in percentage-wise is the B2B business, which is, of course, in the gross margin lower, but, of course, missing the distribution costs falling after the gross profit. So these basically three reasons led to the margin, gross profit and gross margin results in Q1. Nevertheless, of course, we improved the segment EBITDA in Q1 2017 versus the prior year slightly. But the really good news is that looking into Q1, March significantly improved, while January and February are still down. So that, as Wolfgang already said, for the remaining year, we are much more confident than we have been in the past. On page 12, this is the consolidated income statement from the report. To have that complete, maybe to point out the development again of selling expenses and administration expenses. I've put this here separately, so you can see the quarterly comparison adjusted by stock options program as well as FX losses. And I think this is quite a significant reduction, so over 1.2 million euros in one quarter. So this means over 12% lower costs in total. To complete the picture on page 13, the revenues again for Germany, Italy, United Kingdom and the other countries. So in other countries, that's basically the B2B business. So we see the growth in Germany, the decline in Italy and UK, and overall 15% of growth in the first quarter 2017. On page 14, the segment report. So we see the sales division Germany-Italy compared to the prior year, which is very much at the same level. But considering that we have a good development in Germany and which is diluted by Italy, but subsequently, considering the recent development of Italy for March and April, Q2 should give us a much better picture here. On how this will develop in the future, so that also this segment should significantly improve throughout the remaining year. Sales division others, comparing the gross profit from last year of 1.2 million and the 400,000 for this first quarter, makes quite clear the very low margin we achieved in the UK for the first 2 months. You can have the information as we show the gross profit of the B2B business. So the remaining gross profit is basically UK, which means that for the first quarter, UK had a gross profit slightly over 200K. So, having that in mind and looking at the overall profitability, we see where the decline comes from. So that overall, from 2.3 million to 1.9 million is very much driven by UK in the first 2 months. On page 15, we see the selling expenses. You might remember the chart at the beginning of the presentation presented by Wolfgang for the development of selling expenses and administrative expenses. we have here the numbers for the first quarter, respectively also for the prior year. And clearly we see the decline in broadcasting and channel rental costs, which is in its majority coming from the UK, but also already as a part of the development in Italy. We see here a decline to previous quarter of almost 30%. At the same time, sales and marketing expenses going up, showing also the improved business for the classic web shop as a part of sales and marketing expenses. Google AdWords, for instance, is included here. On page 16, the split for the administrative expenses. To point out, of course, again, the development of personal expenses, which are down by almost 12% compared to the previous year. But also in the remaining positions, we see savings. Biggest impact we see for the first quarter and which we also expect for the remaining year in terms of cost reduction, of course, is the general rental cost as well as the personal expenses. But of course, we looked at also the minor positions like the other administrative expenses, starting with traveling expenses, fees for consulting, etc. So that at least every single position we have finds more or less also a reduction in cost. The segment EBITDA, to give you the positions where we subtract from the financial EBITDA, which is like in the previous year, the effects from the foreign currency translation and from the stock options program, which is compared to the prior year pretty much the same. And so that from the financial EBITDA, 2.7 million, this leads to the 1.7 million segment EBITDA, respectively adjusted EBITDA. Balance sheet assets and liabilities. So for the assets, in terms of the non-current assets, you do not see a big change because there have been no major investments, just for replacements. Inventories are slightly up compared to the 31st of December, which comes in its majority from the B2B business, as of course entering into this part of business we have to provide certain level of stock. So that's why all in all we have a quite stable situation here. Same is on the equity side. Of course for the Q1 the total equity has developed accordingly. We see a slightly bigger change in the advanced payments. This is due to the creation model that we use also for Italy and for Germany in particular. The customer can choose the metal and ring size. So there we have more prepayments from customers, why the product is sent later because it has to be produced first. Apart from that, of course, we see an increased trade payables and financial debt as part of the result of the first quarter and the working capital development. Subconsequently, that's also reflected in the cash flow statement on page 20. Cash flow from operating activities in the first quarter is 800. And as you've seen in the balance sheet already, increase and decrease in other liabilities. Just one quick comment on the other non-cash expenses, the 817. This is mainly relating to the translation reserve. To complete the cash flow statement on page 21, again, cash flow from investing activities, as already said, there have been no big investments. This already happened in the year 2015 and beginning 2016. So nothing added here, just replacements. Cash flow from financing activities, 770. The payments for the redemption is regarding the factory in Thailand, which leads to the overall cash equivalence of 1.7 million. So now I may hand over to Wolfgang again for the outlook 2017.
In total now, as of the beginning of May 2017, we have implemented all of the projects and all of the measures that were required to put the company back on track after the problems we were facing in 2016. So there is nothing out of our project list that still needs to be completed that will then be reflected in, let's say, for example, Q3 numbers or something like that. So the restructuring in Germany has been completed, the restructuring in the UK has been completed, the restructuring in Italy has been completed, and we see on each of these fronts very promising results, which makes us optimistic for the remainder of 2017. We can see this also when comparing the half-year numbers for the first half of 2016 and first half of 2017, and as Bernd has pointed out also for the segment report, you see that in Germany, now also in Italy and in the UK, the situation has improved dramatically. In total, our priority in the first quarter, as always, has been to return the company into profitability as fast as possible, which we have accomplished in March, and we will now do as much as we can in order to improve profitability throughout the year 2017, quarter by quarter. Based on that, we say that for the remainder of 2017, we are planning to have a slightly positive EBITDA for the remaining quarters, and we will specify that further after the release of the second quarter numbers, because slightly positive obviously leaves a little bit of room for interpretation, because this basically could be anything between 100,000 or a more substantial number, and after the release of the Q2 numbers, we will narrow that down and give a more precise outlook for the year 2017. So in total, we're very happy that we have been able to turn around the business now, and we look into a 2017 with much more confidence when we compare that with the situation that we were in the last quarter of 2016, and we would now be open to answer any of your questions. May I ask the operator to
take over for the Q&A?
And answer? Yes. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. For questions or annotations, please press star 1. Thank you. The first question comes from Mr. Volker Bosse from Baader Bank. Your line is open.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. Volker Bosse from Baader Bank. Congratulations on the encouraging signs of business stabilization in the first quarter. I have three questions. First, I would like to start with your outlook. You said slight increase of sales for the full year. What does it mean for rest of the quarters? Am I right with assuming that Germany in the rest of the year should provide or generate high single-digit sales growth, Italy double-digit sales growth, and UK double-digit decline, which then sums up to the slight increase? And also a clarification question regarding your EBITDA target. You said negative. You said positive for the rest of the quarters, which does not exclude that for the full year EBITDA could be negative. Am I right, or do I misinterpret you? Although you said you want to specify it later on, but perhaps from today's point of view, your best guess what you want to say with this statement in the outlook. Finally, on the gross margin trend, which needs some words for clarification. I mean, it seems that you have changed here the approach. As 1 year ago, you still sent the target to return to a gross margin of above 50% in 2016. That was, of course, clearly missed, and now you end up with 44% gross margin last year, and for this year, the target is 44%, so a stable gross margin. Is it a change in your business approach, and doesn't that mean that you give away the key advantage of your business model of a fully integrated gemstone retailer, as your unique selling point was always to be a fully vertically integrated retailer, which means including production, but which selling the products of others, so which means third-party products, you do not take the benefit out of the fully vertical integration. So leave it with that for the time being. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. Let me try to answer your last question first. The problem that we see with raising our gross margins not only comes from the fact that we have increased the level of high-value products, where we obviously do generate a lower gross margin than with in-house products, but also in the past when we had more in-house production in these price levels. Also there, the gross margin wasn't so high just because of the price points of the products. The biggest impact from the fact that we are struggling to move our gross margins back to the levels that we had traditionally is still coming from the fact that the euro has lost quite a significant level of its value, both against the US dollar but also against the Thai baht. We are constantly working as much as we can in order to return our gross margin to traditional levels because, as you rightly point out, this is one of our big advantage of being an integrated retailer. We have had to learn the lesson that if we do this too aggressively, then this comes at a pretty significant cost of sales, and this is why we are taking this cautiously. Subsequently, for example, the products, the brands that we have launched, such as Cavill or Lance Fisher or the relaunch of Amayani, are all activities that we do in order to bring margins back to traditional levels. In the past, since 2007, when we launched, fluctuations in the foreign currencies were something that we could digest easier, I have to say. So at that time, kind of, we were not suffering that much from a decline of the euro, but this time we have seen that with the size of our business, this is probably going to take a little bit longer. That does not mean that in the long term we give up on the goal of returning back to 55% gross margin levels. So it's not that kind of we have given up on that. It's only that we have realized that in order to do it profitably, we will have to be a little bit more careful on that, not to sacrifice sales.
Okay.
That was the third question. The first question was regarding with the outlook to sales, and I think your outlook for sales summed it up properly. We will try to increase sales in Germany in the single-digit area, in particular after the decline of the sales in Italy during the last year. We definitely think that Italy should return to double-digit growth, and the UK is also a correct assumption that the sales loss will be in the high double-digit figure, which is a sales loss that has been fully projected by us, so that's not something that catches us without being planned. We knew that a reduction in distribution to that level would also result in a subsequently reduced sales level at the same time as we have already said in the release for the full year numbers. The corresponding reduction in cost of total reach was so high that for the future of our business, it was more logical to forego these levels of sales and at the same time have the cost savings. Our objective, as I have said, is to compensate for the loss of factory utilization that stems from the fact that we have a declining business in the UK. With our B2B activities, we're very careful at the moment to make a projection on what the B2B activities are going to be for the full year, just because this is a business that we have only started to really push roughly 4 months ago, and therefore it's really tricky to project what this is going to be. But obviously, kind of the underlying strategic logic is to compensate for the loss in revenue. But how much that is going to be, I think after the Q2 numbers, we can be a little bit more precise on that front. But as I've said in the beginning, since we're essentially talking about four main clients at the moment, this is a very digital game. If each of the four clients will be very satisfied and happy with our products, then the sales will be very nice. If one buyer or two buyers in one of these four clients changes and then they come with a different most favorite, then this business is gone. So it's extremely digital. And therefore, at the moment, this is still tricky to predict. After Q2 or Q3 of 2017, I think we will have a much better basis to project that. I'm sorry for the little bit vague reply there, but I truly cannot promise something that is in that area more or less totally out of our control. The second point was regarding the outlook for profitability in 2017, which I think is a promising outlook because we've already made a bottom cap and said it's not going to be worse than X. How much better it's going to be at the moment is still a little bit early days to say that, but after the second quarter, as I've said in the beginning, we have now implemented all of the activities that we were planning for 2016, like in terms of major activities. So after the second quarter, we should be able to make a pretty sound projection of what the rest of the year should look like. At the moment, I would prefer to stay a little bit vague on that front because there is still too much data to be gathered in order to make a sound projection based on facts and not so much based on plans and hopes.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much for the explanations and good luck and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bosse.
The next question comes from Mr. Mark Josefsen from Equinet Bank. May we have your question, please?
Yes, good morning, and I agree with Volker. It's good to hear that that spring is in the air in Berlin with this presentation. I'd like to push you a bit more in terms of details with what we've seen so far in with the top line in Q1. I mean, if I look back at domestic sales last year, obviously we're coming off a low base, and there was a little bit of a switch from Q2 to Q1 in 2016. So with the 30% that you've just recorded for Q1, can you give us a feel for the sort of underlying performance, how much better the underlying performance is you feel now compared to 2 years ago or so? Secondly, with respect to Italy, again, that slide looks impressive, particularly with the March and April comments. Again, I know it's against disappointing 2016, but what are the key drivers in Italy? I mean, you've got the new collections that you highlight there. There's a change to the schedule as well, but what's happening in terms of marketing or what else is driving the progress that you're now seeing in Italy? And then thirdly, with respect to the UK, can you give us a feel for what will happen in terms of annualized sales reduction with the measures you've taken and what sort of costs will come out of the UK? And then finally, with respect to the outlook, you stressed a few times in terms of no more exceptionals after Q2. Obviously, the UK is a factor that I guess kicks in with Q2. Should there be any, or should we expect any exceptional items with the Q2 numbers? Thank you.
Okay. Again, I will start with your last question first. I don't foresee any exceptional items that we have to record with our Q2 numbers, at least. So far in the second quarter, nothing has happened that we would have to book as a exceptional item. Going forward, by the nature of an exceptional item, nothing has happened. We don't know what is going to happen, but so far for Q2, as I've tried to explain, we are back to a normal way of operating our business, and we are not in total restructuring mode anymore. So that will give us a much better stability. In Italy, we have basically worked our restructuring on three main pillars. The first is we have had intensive discussion with our distribution partners on the cost of distribution, and we've been able to reduce the cost of distribution. The second is based on the new shift schedule, we have been able to reduce the cost of our workforce quite significantly. So the second pillar of the recovery in Italy was based on that pillar. The third pillar was the optimization of the product and a more tailored approach to the needs of the Italian customer, which has led to a much more favorable product assortment, and therefore also the Italian customers have reacted to that very favorably. The predominant focus for the relaunch of our Italian business was to optimize the business that we already had. So it was not so much on could we increase our marketing spendings to get more new customers, but it was more, let's make the business that we already have profitable and make sure that we satisfy the clients we already have, which doesn't mean that we're not fighting to get more new customers. We're also doing that. But as with every sensible restructuring effort, the overall approach was to say, this is the business we have, and let's make that business profitable, which we have succeeded in. For the full year development of the United Kingdom, the sales drop will be significant, very significant, can be in the area between minus 25 to even minus 30, 35, or 40%. As we have only relaunched the business essentially something like 6 weeks ago, it is still a little bit early to make a full year projection. We have days where we are even close to prior sales figures, so prior to sales figures where we reached the same levels that we even had prior to the restructuring, but there's also other days where we are very significantly below that. So how much that is going to be is not yet possible to really predict properly. But what we can assume is that our developing B2B business will compensate a pretty significant chunk of that drop in revenue.
Okay.
Yeah. With regard to Germany, the sales development in Germany, I think you partly have given already the answer. So the increase in the first quarter of 30%, of course, was also on the low base in Q1 2016, and as you already said, we improved the German business last year as, let's say, the first. So we quite quickly recovered there already in the second quarter 2016. That's why also the projection for the Germany sales, of course, is not double digit but single digit. not because of cooling down the business in Germany, but as we are running up against better numbers in the starting from the second quarter 2016.
Okay, that's simple.
Okay.
Mrs. Anne Critchlow from SocGen, your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I've got two questions. My first question concerns the final paragraph in your forecast report, where you talk about the need to reduce inventories, but also improve the profitability of the group. Could there be a bit of antagonism between those two things? Because if you urgently need to reduce inventories to generate cash, could that threaten the improvement, the flat gross margin outlook that you're looking for? And I have another question about that paragraph as well, because you talk about the need to not jeopardize the ability to pay at all times. Is this about paying suppliers or paying banks? And I just wondered if you could remind us whether you have portions of debt which come up for payment over the next year. And then my second question is a bit more sort of philosophical over time. I'm wondering how you can transfer, the high-value German TV business to web over time as TV and TV shopping, becomes a less mainstream activity. Because as I understand it, the pure online business is more to do with clearance and low-value items. So how do you think the business will work for the higher-value items over the web over time in Germany? Thank you.
Let me, for a change, so that we don't get bored all of the time, start with your first question.
Okay.
That has been a very intense discussion internally, because obviously you always have a trade-off between liquidity and profitability in a situation where you are in a mode where you have to make significant changes to the business. Because always it's very easy to improve liquidity when you just try to throw product away as fast as possible in order to generate cash. At the same time, that is something that hurts profitability in the short term, but also hurts profitability in the long term, because your customers get used to very lower prices and expect you to offer these prices also going forward in the next quarters. We have had to balance these two goals in the first quarter, and the result of that balancing act has been the slight increase in inventories that you have seen, which came from basically two fronts at the same time. We've liquidated some non-performing product in the United Kingdom, which would have, if we had done nothing else, reduce our inventories. At the same time, we have invested into product that we are going to offer to the customer for the future in order to continue to return the company to proper profitability. And that has in total brought us into a situation where we have had a slight increase in inventories. Obviously, to be able to pay both suppliers but also banks back at any given point in time for all of our obligations is our objective, just as with every other sensible business. We have, regarding suppliers, I think all of our suppliers are current and paid up. With banks, we have already disclosed in our full year numbers that we have one loan that will mature in the mid of this year, where we are currently discussing the terms of extending this loan, where we are in good discussions, and therefore we don't see any reason to make any additional statements regarding this. Maybe Bernd would like to specify this a bit further.
Yes. As we also put in our annual report, there's one loan expiring end of June. The total amount is 7.5 million. So this is a German bank here in Berlin, which we work together with for quite some time. And at the moment, we negotiate the terms and conditions and the prolongation of that loan. but it's yet not finalized. There's an offer and an idea how this is going to be structured, as we as a group also intend to lower the debt in total. And this is in discussion. That's why we haven't disclosed anything in particular, because it's not finalized yet. But of course, this is also part of the plan, and this is basically set by this sentence. And as Wolfgang pointed out, it's always a path you have to find between these both issues. And looking, for instance, at the UK for the first 2 months, it's exactly that. We can clear stock on the one hand, but of course for the we have to sacrifice in profitability. But it was a good opportunity to do that in UK for the first 2 months, as we knew we had to relaunch the UK. Also, the offer in the UK has changed, so that the risk of getting our customers used to lower price points was not that much given, as the product offer has changed from March on. So that's why we choose this way for the UK for the first 2 months, because we did not see that this will affect us for the future, as Wolfgang said. Is normally the case when you go in a massive sales mode, you normally drop in revenues after that, because people take the opportunity and then for a while do not buy at all or buy less, or as Wolfgang said, expect lower prices. But this was a very particular, very specific situation in the UK we had, so that's why. And yes, of course, I think it's not to a surprise when I say that looking at the balance sheet and the level of cash and debt we have, that we need to look at that. But on the other hand, I think this is something that every company does.
Can you go to page 7, please, for a second? Okay. Regarding your last question, which was... pointed at the overall strategic development of our business. You see that kind of in the light green, we have our webshop revenues, which is our static webshop. In the darker green, we have the revenues that come from the what we call bidding agent and apps, which are all sales mechanisms that come from the moving picture offer, where we have a presenter showing a piece of jewelry. And the bidding agent and all of the corresponding activities do not differ in its ability to sell high-value products from classical telephone purchases. So also the very high-end products get sold via the bidding agent, where people watch us, for example, online, or watch the television signal and purchase the product via a internet-based type of communication, be that the app or bidding agent. What I would like to point out with that is that even going forward, even in 5 years from now, even in 10 years from now, we are going to be a e-commerce business that offers jewelry with a moving picture approach, meaning that there will be also in 5 and 10 years from now, most likely, a presenter presenting a piece of jewelry to customers and explaining all of the benefits of that particular piece of jewelry. This is because jewelry is a very specific area where you need to transport a lot of information in order for people to actually trust that the offer that you give to them is a proper offer. It's a type of merchandise that is much harder to sell if you just present a picture and say, look at this marvelous piece of jewelry, why don't you buy this? So that leaves us very confident that even in an area where, let's say, in 5 to 10 years from now, linear television will not be that relevant to the overall consumer market anymore as it is today, because that is obviously a shift in consumer patterns that we see already now. Even in that scenario, we will continue to be able to make our offer to the customer based on a moving picture. I hope that this answers your question on that front.
Thank you. It's all very useful. I'm just wondering how you transfer that moving picture business in Germany, because as I understood it, it would be quite difficult to replace TV with streaming, because streaming would imply a lower profitability business. Is that correct?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If we were to increase profitability of our group, mind-bogglingly dramatically, we would stop television distribution right now as fast as possible, and with the remaining clients we would just do streaming, and that would cut out almost double-digit figure of distribution costs of our P&L and would increase bottom line dramatically, unfortunately only for maybe 1 or 2 years, because at the moment we still get a lot of new customers via television. So the economics of a streaming business is that even though in the static web shop the margins are lower, also the cost of distribution is much lower. At the moment, we use television to gain new customers, because for our moving picture business, this is the most powerful way of getting new customers and engage them with our business. In the future, as we see this, for example, in France already, also that will move to a situation where we get customers over the web and transform them step by step into the more dynamic approach of our live auctions. In France, we have a pretty significant group of customers who take part in our live bidding auctions that happen in Germany without even having a moving picture. So kind of that shows you that kind of also that it will be able to transform customers, but that's something that will start to gain momentum maybe in 3 to 5 years from now.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Fischer, there are no further questions.
Then I would like to thank all participants, thank everybody to join our call today, and
we're looking forward to hearing from you after the publication of the Q2 numbers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We want to thank Mr. Bernd Fischer and all the participants of this conference. Goodbye.